Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'd like to advance one thing that a top team official said to me over the weekend when I was writing my column for Monday on what the NFL could look like in 2020. And I didn't write this. It's a little bit of inside baseball, but it gives you sort of an idea of how different the NFL could be. And that is the option that in many cases, NFL teams could travel day of game to their games. So, for instance, if the New York Jets are playing the Cleveland Browns, the Jets just wake up on Sunday morning and they have a 7:30 a.m. flight to Cleveland. They go directly to the stadium in Cleveland, and they're in the locker room no later than 9:45, which is about when the first bus would arrive anyway, from the hotel. And so I could see that happening this year, where unless you're on, say a 2 or 3 time zone trip, that you don't travel the day before the game. And I only bring that up because it is a little bit inside-ish. I only bring that up because I think teams are going to have to get used to doing things much differently in 2020 logistically than in any other year they've had.
So that's something that occurred to me. Final hour here, Felger and Mass. So again, we discussed yesterday, based on some reports, that teams are going to start off with their non-conference slate. First 4 weeks of the year are non-conference, so if the league has to delay, cancel, contract the season, you just contract the non-conference games. Turns out that's not the case. What if they wait it, Maz, towards long trips versus conference, non-conference? Like, for example, if that's, and this what Peter King said there makes perfect sense, you can maintain a bubble a lot easier if you don't have to stay overnight. You know, you don't got to pick the hotel, quarantine the hotel, sanitize the hotel. If you could just avoid that whole thing of flying in, busing to a hotel, staying at the hotel, busing to this, you know, just go straight from the airport to the stadium, back to the airport and go back home. You can maintain your bubble a little bit easier. Makes sense. You can't do that, Patriots at Seattle. You can't do that, Patriots at Rams. You can't do that, Chargers at Patriots. So what if those are the games that are expendable, whether it's conference or non-conference? It's the long trips that are the first to go.
So look, again, it's a sound theory. In the case of the Patriots, though, that's 8 games this year, right? I mean, they're playing the AFC West and the NFC West. And so you can't wipe out eight games from the schedule. You can, you know, in theory, you can only take out 4, right? I mean, you don't want to play an 8-game season is my point.
Well, what if you backload those, right? So those are at the end of the year where hopefully things are more conducive to those to a trip. And early on in the season, it's all, you know, same time zone travel.
I mean, look, I think there's ways to mitigate it. But then, you know, I'm not ruling it out. I'm just trying to talk it out with you.
Yeah.
And so I look at it and say, okay, fine. Is that then a competitive disadvantage for teams that have to play cross-country games at the end of the year? Again, if you delay them all, the Patriots are playing the whole division. So that means that New England and Seattle are flying all 4 weekends, or, you know, one of those two teams is flying all 4 weekends in the month of December. Because you got to play the whole East. Seattle's got to play the whole East, just like the Patriots have to play the whole West. So it does raise, I like the idea we discussed earlier of eliminating one of the division games. So you'd have an inequity there in terms of home road, but you've got 6 games in the division. You're playing some teams twice. Chop out those 3. get rid of those three so that at least you play everybody who is on your schedule once instead of playing six division games and then, you know, maybe missing the entire NFC West.
Well, like I'm saying, I just wonder what clues we'll be able to pick up in the schedule tonight. There should be.
For sure we'll get some.
We should be able to discern what their plan is if they have to reschedule or contract. There should be a pattern. You should be able to pick up a pattern among all these teams to figure out what their contingency plans are, because they have to have them. The NFL's just been plowing ahead like there's nothing, hardly anything going on. But eventually, you know they've got a plan for something getting in the way. Yes, Murray?
Well, though, you just said, though, they're just plowing along like nothing's actually happening, given this league and its stupidity. I don't know. You're going to be surprised if there isn't some sort of fail-safe.
Yeah.
You know, there is some sort of Byzantine formula to this whole thing that they put it together over weeks and months, don't they? So, I don't know. Given this league's history and their stupidity, I don't put it past them to just say, nah, by then it'll be gone anyway. We're going along with this.
I mean, I tell you where I really think they're in a tough spot is New York. Because it's easy to focus on New York just given the explosion of the pandemic down there. The thing is been out of control. In theory, you're going to have a home game in New York every weekend. And so, you know, between the Giants and the Jets, someone's going to be playing there all the time. And so, logically, you would say, you know what? Fewer home games for those teams early in the year. And so maybe during the months of September and October, they each only play twice at home, right? Like, so that the other 4 weekends, the stadium's vacant, you're not getting people congregating or, you know, whatever. But the problem is then what? So they're going to open with six of their first eight on the road competitively? That's not fair.
Well, there's fairs out the window, right? And, you know, perfect's out the window. So it's just picking the least sucky of a bunch of sucky options. But again, I think that's a big curiosity tonight. How is that going to be managed? If at all. Again, your thoughts on everything so far today. Ed in Rhode Island, what do you got on Brady's schedule?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Go ahead, Ed.
I don't understand why you guys are thinking he might lose 4 or 5 games down there. With all these weapons that he has, I could see him, except for maybe Kansas City, I could see him running the table just, you know, really.
Well, he'd love to, but that, you know, only goes so far. What if his coach doesn't have the team prepared? What if his defense blows? What if Arians gets into a 2-minute situation and blows his timeouts? You know, whatever. I mean, Brady's about to see how the other half lives in the NFL with just another coach there on the sidelines. Let's see, you know, let's see exactly what that's worth. That's part of why this story's so interesting.
Well, they drafted a safety there in the second round, but I don't know. Looking at that secondary, it's still going to stink. I mean, they're going to get in shootout type games. They're not going to be running the table or going 15-1.
Tom and Quincy on Brady's workout video, which Maz had a problem with. Yes, Tom.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the workout video, guys. I mean, listen, I love Brady. I love what everything he did here, and I love him as a player. But these guys, the athletes that start doing their pumping up videos online and stuff, it drives me nuts. And the only ones I don't mind is if you're coming back from, like, a catastrophic injury or something, and you're showing your progress, like not J.J. Watt being a hotto, just going to the gym at 4 in the afternoon or 4 in the morning or whatever the hell time he was videoing it. But the stuff I don't mind watching is like I watched that Alex Smith special this past weekend about him coming back. Now that is video that I want to see athletes put out, because I never really appreciated that guy too much. After watching that thing, I came away with a whole newfound respect. They were fear for his life. They almost had to take his leg off. So, like, this is legit. Those are the kind of videos I'll watch with athletes. Not this stuff. It's just super douchey. Like, I can't stand it.
So, the Skip Bayless cut, like, the LeBron stuff gets douchey. I just think this Brady thing is lame. He's doing this step drill, and he's not even doing it right. And he's not even, it's, you know, oh, so neat. So he found a pair of shoulder pads and a helmet, and you're doing some side steps, but you're not even square to the bars. You're not even stepping inside the bars. It's like, ooh, you're working out in May, and you're not even doing it right. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I just thought because it was lame.
Yeah, I think Tom and Quincy got it right. It's douchey is what it is. And you know what? I tend to agree with him. I think he makes a good point. There are certain guys you look at that you say, that guy had a big injury, you know? So if he's showing me, hey, I'm getting better, I'm coming along, you know, fine, I'm okay with that. I just think the Brady thing has just reached such levels of, you know, look at me, self-promotion without any real substance being there, that it's just hard to look at him the same way now.
Todd in Plymouth, hi, what do you got for us?
Hey, a comment from Maz and a question for you, Felga. Maz, lay off of Murray's special brownies, not remembering that you have to go through security in an airport.
Seriously, what was
Come
that?
Come on, man.
What was that?
Pre-9/11?
So, Felga,
yes, pre-9/11.
Yeah, So
hold on. Maz, it wasn't September 11th, 1968. It was September 11th, 2001. I mean, seriously. Are you sniffing glue? Did we have to go through security before 9/11? What's the matter with you?
I told you, I think it's too many cookies.
Maz was still trying to fly TWA and slapping stewardesses on the ass in September 10th, 2001.
I think there are now fat deposits forming in my brain. I mean, Murray, I like the idea of what you just painted.
Yeah. I'm a smart guy. What'd you get on the Wonderlic again?
39.
Sometimes you say things. Like the thing about, oh, you don't mean the hockey rink was outside the mall in Minnesota? When it wasn't IKEA? It wasn't IKEA. Wait, like, what made you think that was the hockey rink?
Didn't it used to be a hockey rink?
It used to be, but now it's an IKEA, and you know that because on the side of the building, in giant 30-foot letters, it says IKEA.
I thought maybe they were a sponsor.
Anyway, Todd in Plymouth, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's all right. Yeah, Maz, it's not cookies. It's the brownies you're eating. But, yeah, it's all good. So strength of schedule is what you're talking about, whether you should start Stidham and Hoyer. My question to you is, if they start with Kansas City, let's not start Stidham because he could fail, but he's failing to an elite team. What happens if they do start with Miami and he fails? How detrimental will that be to his confidence in the team, saying Stidham lost to a bum team like Miami rather than an elite team? And can we really go forward thinking that this is the answer? That's my biggest question.
Okay, good question. You know, so the first snide thing to say is, yeah, he did exactly what Brady did the last time they faced Miami at home. Gagged. Okay. So you could throw that back at the anti-Stidham people. But this is why I wonder, Maz, there is risk there. You know, if the league gives the Patriots a really soft landing and a soft opening, home Miami week one, and they go with Stidham and he can't do it, and they get off to a slow start against an easy slate, oh, that's, you know, that's even worse. Which is why I wonder, I'm telling you, I would not be surprised one bit. I almost might want to bet it that Hoyer's going to be your starting quarterback to start the year, and Bill's going to manage it that way, and he's going to put, he'll only go to Stidham when the situation calls for it, when it's perfect, when Stidham is set up to succeed. And to me, that's not an indictment of Stidham to me. That just means he isn't ready week one as a second-year player. And to me, that's fine. And if they feel Stidham needs to be managed, I have no problem with that. That to me does not constitute fail. But I wonder if that's on their radar.
Well, look, I think to me the long-term play with Stidham outweighs everything. Okay, so if they think Stidham's the guy and that it'd benefit him, then it benefits them to move him along slowly. If that's what they decide, that part of it's fine. With regard to what they do in the early part of the year, we will at least get a clearer picture of how Bill feels about the kid. Because if they are playing a lamb, and again, Miami's interesting because there's obviously a lot going on down
there. Lamb, they're a lamb, they're a lamb.
Okay, but fine, so let's just accept that they're a lamb. Even if he plays him, I think he's telling you, no, he's ready to play against, you know, he's ready to play in the league. And we think we're going to win the game. He's not so unprepared that we're going to blow it against Miami. So I think we get some clearer picture of how Belichick feels about the kid at this moment.
Okay, so again, that's a question. We'll pick it up on the other side. If Brian Hoyer is starting football games early next year, is that a fail? Has Belichick failed the quarterback transition? We pick that up right after these words.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank.
Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new Business Hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Look, we've been talking up this kid, and now it's time for him to prove it. And Giles, I understand what you're saying. Yes, Brian Hoyer, he's a safe guy. He's a knowledgeable guy. But if there's any Brian Hoyer involved on the field that doesn't come, if he's playing and there's no injury involved, you failed. Simple as that.
Or Stidham's so good that you've run up the score and you're letting the backup play for the fourth quarter.
I was going to say, if he starts a game and nobody's hurt, you have failed.
Mike Holley last night on Boston Sports Tonight, NBC Sports Boston. Good take. Good, strong take. I disagree with it. These two guys agree strongly. To me, if Jared Stidham isn't ready to start the year, but he's still the future, and you need to manage him when you bring him out and you bring him along slowly, that to me is not a fail. It's just what that player, you know, it's just how you should manage that player. Everyone's different. Not everyone comes out gangbusters week one. Not everyone's ready year two. Garoppolo was on the bench for 3-4 years. Aaron Rodgers was on the bench for 3-4 years. It happens. Different players have different paces. And if Stidham's the guy, they think he's the guy, but they want to manage him or just put him in a position to succeed. And if they have tough games early on, and this is really based more off of yesterday when we thought they were going to be opening up the NFC West. If they were going to be opening up the NFC West, which apparently is not going to be the case anymore, but if it was the NFC West to open up and they had a schedule something like this, at Seattle, home San Francisco, at LA Rams, and you're staring at maybe an 0-3, and then the added pressure of Garoppolo, the real heir apparent, coming into town with the Super Bowl team, and you're staring maybe 0-3 in the face, I could totally see you start Hoyer, you throw him to the wolves, and then the kid becomes the savior. You bring the kid in the second month when they're 1-3 or something like that, and an easier part of their schedule, and then he's actually set up to succeed. I think that makes perfect sense, and to me that is not an indictment on Jared Stidham. Well, now it turns out apparently they're going to be opening up Miami week one at Gillette. So that changes the calculus a little bit. But the bottom line to me is, if Hoyer is starting early next year, that to me is not a fail. Why is it a fail, Maz?
Okay, I say it's a fail because it's not about Stidham being ready or not ready. If Stidham's not ready, that's fine. I'm okay with that part of the equation. What I am uncomfortable with, however, is the fact that Hoyer would be the guy playing. And to me, that speaks to Belichick's mistake. You couldn't do better than Brian Hoyer. Brady walks out the door with all the movement there was in that quarterback market this offseason. Brian Hoyer's the guy you end up with. That's what the plan was. To me, that's a fail. I'm sorry. So again, I'm not saying that if Stidham takes longer than just one season, that's okay. I get that. Fine. Then you should have gotten something better than Brian Hoyer to be his sidekick.
Yeah, in choosing to go with Hoyer, I think you, for one, potentially hurt Stidham's confidence, and you go with a guy who's going to give you less of a chance of winning. And that's just based on his starts. Last 16 starts going back to November 29th, 2015. Hoyer's record, 3 wins, 13 losses. You're waving the white flag on this season right out of the gate by starting Hoyer. And I think in immediately starting Stidham, you're choosing the unknown, but you're choosing upside and potential. And if he, even if it was still that slate that we were talking about yesterday, it was those out-of-conference games, if he won a couple of those, not just the boost for him, the boost for this team. And I think the fans being like, holy crap, we might actually have something here.
Yeah, there's upside, no doubt. But there's risk. Murray, you say Stidham losing out to Hoyer early next year. If Hoyer starts over him, that's a blow to Stidham's confidence. And what's a bigger blow to Stidham's confidence? Not playing, losing out to Hoyer, or playing and starting out 1-3 and getting his face kicked in, you know, out in Seattle or with the Rams or against Garoppolo at home, and now people are grumbling about there's the real guy who should still be here and da-da-da. You know, what's a bigger blow to his confidence?
Oh, I think losing the job to Hoyer, because he knows he's already beat him out last year, and if he's watched any film, he knows Hoyer sucks and I'm better than him. So I'd rather get my face kicked in. If he had any, you know, If he had any intestinal fortitude, he'd be like, okay, I'm now 1-3. I've had a terrible first month of my season, but I'm going to dust myself off and get back out there and try to give it my all. But I ain't losing my job to that stiff.
Yeah, I'm okay with the cautious approach with Stidham. If that's what they want to do, then I'm fine. And Mike, at the end of the day, what you and I disagree over is Hoyer.
Yes.
You think Hoyer is capable. I don't.
Yep.
And I think they could have done better than Brian Hoyer. And I'm sorry, for $3 million, Andy Dalton, like, I'll take my chances. At least Dalton has been part of led a winning team for multiple years in a row.
What's the Patriots record if Hoyer starts all 16 games, Miss?
6-10 at best.
Okay. What's the record if Andy Dalton starts all 16 games?
9-7 or 10-6.
Oh, that big of a gap? So, okay, that's where we disagree. I think Hoyer is more capable than you do. I do. He was good last year in training camp. And again, I know now, like, you won't argue with anyone else other than me on this, but Hoyer was better than Stidham last year in training camp. He was better in the preseason.
Well, I'll make an appointment to argue with Gasper on Saturday.
Thank
morning
you.
About
Thank
this.
You.
I won't.
Yeah. Gasper should be in tomorrow, so we can argue with him there. I think Hoyer is an ultimate system quarterback, and I think Bill would win games with him. Now, I like Dalton more too, Maz. I'd rather have Dalton in that spot, right? If there's a sacrificial lamb / placeholder for Stidham, I'd rather have Andy Dalton. Okay, so I agree with you. But so then what am I really arguing there? You know, because I don't think the gap between Andy Dalton and Brian Hoyer is all that great. Maybe it's a game. Maybe it's less, given there's no offseason and, you know, Dalton's new in the playbook and he's had that stupid Bengals, you know, playbook in his head his whole career. And now he's got to learn this one. And maybe given all of that, Hoyer is equal to Dalton, if not a little bit better. I mean, I think I'm really arguing on the margins there between Hoyer and Dalton. I'd rather have Dalton, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
I mean, I think the gap is bigger, and I'll tell you where I think you'll see it. If they go on the road with that schedule, with Brian Hoyer a quarterback, they're going 2-6 in their 8 road games. That's because they're losing, Seattle's a loss. They'll lose at L.A. They'll lose at Miami. They'll lose at Buffalo. Like, I rattle them off and say they're going to lose all those games. They're going to lose a ton of games if they go on the road with Brian Hoyer, a quarterback, in that schedule.
They're not losing at Buffalo and Miami with Hoyer. They're at least splitting, if not more.
They'll Wanna lose bet? At Buffalo with that defense with Brian Hoyer.
What if the Pats play similar defense? What if Josh Allen is running around laddering the ball backwards like a chicken with his head cut off? I mean, these are still the Bills. That's still Josh Allen. This is still the worst division in football, is it not, Anthony?
It is the worst division in football, and that's the only thing the Patriots have going for them. With the possible exception of the NFC East, if the Patriots were in any other division, they're not vying for the division title. In fact, I think it's pretty clear that they're not winning the division if they're in 6 of the other 7. The only one you could say they'd have a shot is the NFC East. Even then, I think Dallas and Philly both have more talent than the Patriots do, and now the Cowboys certainly have improved coaching.
So we're still in the worst division in football. This is part of my calculus, and I'll say it again. This is not a knock on Tom Brady. It just happens to be a fact. There have been so many games over the last 20 years, but the last 5 for sure, so many that it just did not matter who the Patriots quarterback was. It just didn't. They were winning those games. They had those games won on defense. Yes, even special teams, coaching for sure. They had him won. Now, the fact that Brady was here, you won him by 30, and they were snoozers. But you were winning those games either way. So can Hoyer just come in, receive the snap, not fumble it or turn it over, and just can you win those games you were winning no matter who the quarterback was anyway? And
why are you assuming Hoyer can do that?
Because he can.
He lost his job to Ryan Mallett in Houston at one point.
Okay, again, Houston! The coaching's different. The situation's different. This is Bill Belichick's guy. What's he been when Bill Belichick is his guy? He's been fine. He's been fine. And if your quarterback is just fine, are you winning those mop-up games? How many mop-up games have we had here?
Okay, when you say when Bill Belichick's been his coach, he's been fine. When was that?
Well, what do you mean?
I mean, when did he play in any game of consequence with Bill Belichick as his coach? 10 years ago? I mean, you know, and then he was a backup. I just think Hoyer's a
all I'm saying is, no, well, can you know my point? Don't you think Bill's going to put him in a better position to succeed than Bill effing O'Brien or, you know, like anyone else?
Yes, yes.
Thank
but
you.
Again, then that presumes that Bill can do that with any quarterback because I just think Hoyer blows.
Right. Yeah. If you suck, you suck.
No,
and
see,
Hoyer sucks.
No, see, there's suck and stupid. There's stupid suck. If Ryan Mallett were still here, I'd agree with you guys. Toast. No chance. You know, a guy like that, okay, no shot. But Hoyer, I think, will play within the system. And if Bill puts him in a position to succeed, he'll make just enough plays. Instead of winning these games by 30, they'll win them by 10 or something, and they'll just mop up the games that they're going to mop up anyway.
Well, I'll tell you what, then. I hope at the start of the year that Jarrett Stidham is not ready and Brian Hoyer gets in there and we all get our answer. I'm hoping that we get to see at least a little bit of that at the beginning of the year, and then come October, Stidham can play because the season will be over.
So this all leads to the email of the day. I got this from Jay, the angry Jay in Providence. Felger, your delusion and delusions of grandeur with Hoyer is not only annoying, it's insulting to any child that understands football. Hoyer sucks my grundle, he says. Hoyer is 16-22 as a starter, barely near 60% completion percentage. At some point, your stupidity will reach its level and understand what system and coach Hoyer has. He blows. I'm sorry. And understand that whatever system and coach Hoyer has, he freaking blows. Did you watch last year and their struggles on offense, meaning the Patriots? Now they do not have Brady, and their offense outside of Edelman is riddled with massive question marks. Their roster is very much mediocre and unproven until shown otherwise, and this will be the ultimate test for Bill. He has never dealt with such a poor, talentless roster, and that does not include Brady and Gronk, and the fact that you have your Bill sock puppet head up your rear end thinking they can win the division with Hoyer insults the football intelligence of any five-year-old. So I thought that was a good, strong take right there.
Coming in hot.
I happen to agree with them.
I'll just restate it. They're going to win the division next year if Brian Hoyer starts all 16 games. How stupid am I? We'll continue with that conversation after Murray's update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
What the process was like recruiting Rob Gronkowski to come out of retirement and also to play in Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, it was really Tom. Tom brought it up to me, and I didn't think it was even a possibility. He wanted to come back, and he was adamant about, yeah, he really wants to play. You know, he'd love to play with us. So, you know, Jason Light got the ball rolling with the Patriots. The conversation was there, and, you know, he's working out. He's in great shape. He's really raring to go, so we're looking forward to getting on the practice field.
Bruce Arians saying today that Rob Gronkowski returning to football in Tampa was all about Tom Brady. We sort of knew, but Arians isn't afraid to just tell you everything. You have a reaction to that? Does that bug you at all, Maz? Murray? Does that bug anybody?
Well, it gives me further reason to believe the whole thing was a bag job. And what I wonder is whether, you know, I mean, Aaron sort of goes along with it, but I don't know. They, you know, they gave up. It was a fourth round pick for Gronk, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, is everybody in Tampa happy about that? I wonder whether they're completely on board.
Well, GM Tom Brady. It's like, this is what happens.
Exactly.
You turn your franchise over to the superstar player. I don't know, it doesn't always work in that sport. Usually doesn't work in that sport, in fact. So we'll see if it works down in Tampa. We'll wrap it up here with your wonderful phone calls. Our buddy Dave is in Woburn. He's up next with Felger Maz. Hi, Dave.
That superstar player won us quite a few Super Bowls, and Hoyer is quite the mistake. The fact that we're having this conversation dictates that. And Belichick was the mastermind that everybody thinks he is. This would not be the plan. Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Montana, Steve Young, he knew that Brady was leaving. Maybe not right this second, even if it was next year. We're still not prepared for next year. So I can't wait for Belichick to fall on his face this year and Tampa to win the Super Bowl.
That's why this is going to be fun. Two teams to watch, points to be proven, blowing to be meted out. This is why this year is so great. Does Belichick deserve a little bit of a pass, Maz, in that he wasn't allowed to execute the plan that he wanted to execute?
Yeah, so I draw a line, you know, somewhere in the middle there, and this is why. Because, again, Bill's plan at the beginning was excellent. He drafted Garoppolo, they developed him, and he certainly wanted to keep Garoppolo, if nothing else. And I don't know that he wanted to trade Brady or whether that's a realistic goal. So, you know, but to me, I think he wanted to keep Garoppolo. He had the plan. And his hand was forced, and he had to cut ties with Garoppolo. So that part I don't blame Bill for. I think Bill was right. But I do look at this past off season and say, well, now you knew that Brady was going out the door. He had asked for free agency. There were plenty of options out there. And, again, I'm not telling you that the guy's Joe Montana. You could have had Andy Dalton for $3 million bucks, or maybe a little bit more because maybe he'd had to outbid Dallas. I'd take him over Hoyer every day of the week.
We spent some time earlier on the return of golf in Massachusetts. Carl in Shrewsbury wants to weigh in. Go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, so I got my tee time booked for Sunday. I'm ready to go, but I'm just confused because on my way there, I'm going to take out some cash. I'm going to go to the ATM. I'm going to punch the buttons. And when I get to the course and I hit my ball towards the hole, I can't pick my ball up out of the hole.
So that, to me, feels like the only deal breaker, Carl. As we went through all the restrictions in place about the return of golf, and there's a big long list of them. I think they're all acceptable. If you have to ride a cart, I feel sorry for you. You know, if you're elderly or, you know, have a physical condition that doesn't allow you to walk the course, I guess you're SOL, which kind of sucks. But just as, you know, from my perspective, if I were a golfer, the only thing to me that would be a deal breaker is this pool noodle thing in the golf hole, or the golf hole itself extending up above the ground so it doesn't go in the hole. It just bangs off that white cylinder that they've pushed up above level. And so now you're not putting into a hole. You're just ramming it against a hard surface. Like, to me, that's not golf. Like, that's not even golfing.
No. So I'll tell you what, though. And Murray tweeted something out about this, and I checked at the place I play, and this is what they're using. So this is actually a pretty nifty little device.
Can I see it? Where is it? Where do I go to watch to look at this? What do I Google?
Murray, I don't know what the thing was called.
The last thing I Googled was Grundle, so that's still up here. Tell me what's the whole thing called.
Hopefully okay, that so took you to Beowulf. And
oh, no, I know. I got the definition. Go ahead.
So, Murray, do you remember what it was called?
No, because I just found it on Barstool. Someone tweeted it to me. I don't know the name.
Okay, so, Mike, well, just took for like, I don't know, like
brought
easy
it up.
Golf
don't be mad
ball,
at me.
Whatever. But I'll tell you what it is. Think of a disc that is dropped into the bottom of the cup all the way down, okay? But you're able to lift that disc out because it's connected to a little hook on the flag stick. So, in other words, it's like an elevator in the cup.
Huh?
The ball,
what?
The ball falls into the hole.
Check your phone. I just texted it to you.
Thank you.
And it sits on this disc, okay? Just, again, it sits in the bottom of the hole. And with the head of your putter, you're able to lift this little hook on the flag stick that lifts the disc and the ball out of the hole, and then the ball rolls off.
Ah, so I see it.
You don't have to touch the ball. You just lift this little hook. Again, it's like a little elevator in the cup.
I see it.
Think of it that way.
I see it.
Thing's kind of cool.
No, I got it. Love it.
It is.
So there you
it
go.
Is.
Okay, now that's like, that is almost golf. Because if you're putting into a hole with the stick in the hole, Maz, that's still not quite the, you know, it's going to kick out balls that were going to go in, and it's going to save balls that were going to go flying over the hole. So it's still not, you're maybe 85% of the way there if you're putting into a hole with the stick still in it. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, so again, the stick, you know, the flag stick in the hole was a rule put in by the PGA last year. So guys are now, you're now allowed to leave the flag stick in the hole. That was a rule change last year.
Oh, wait, hold on. You're allowed to if you're on the green?
Oh, yeah.
Get out of here.
Oh, yeah, there were guys doing it on the tour. I think Adam Scott does it every time now.
What? He keeps
You didn't know this?
He keeps it in no matter what. I don't follow golf anymore. The boring losers on tour.
No. This was a rule change last year. When putting, you are allowed to leave the flagstick in the hole now. And, you know, this was a point of contention and a point of debate as to whether or not
it
helped
be.
The putter. Well, so a lot of times people putting will tell you it hurts you because the ball can hit the flagstick and not go in.
Yeah.
But allegedly there was research done indicating that the greater likelihood is that it'll help you. And so the flagstick stays in now anyway. And the device that I'm looking at, in case people want to look at it, is called the Easy Lift. And that's lift with a Y. So Easy, L-Y-F-T, the Easy Lift golf ball retriever out of the hole. This is the type of thing clubs will be using now.
Okay. Well, I'll take the Easy Lift contraption over the cylinder resting above the hole, so you're not even putting into a hole. That is really not golf. Pete in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Pete.
Mike, Maz, listen, the quarterback situation. Okay, Stidham's the guy. I'm going to take you off speaker. He's the guy. Okay, but Hoyer's the starter, and the whole thing is already an epic fail. I don't know how and I don't know if the league would allow that I should wear the number 19 because they're like the football version of coronavirus. I mean, Mike, how do you go? 3 months ago, we had the most raging economy in the history of the United States of America. And 3 years ago, we had Tom Brady and Garoppolo. In 3 years, we have gone completely into the toilet. I mean, it's a devastation right now.
So the quarterback should wear number 19 for COVID-19. What a line with this crappy phone and stupid speaker and all of that. Mike, Maz, listen. Let me take you off speaker. what if they go 10-6 and win the division? How is that a fail? And what if Stidham's the next guy? It's not a fail yet. It's not a fail. I'll tell you, the only way it's a fail is if they have to go back into the quarterback market next year. And Stidham doesn't even have to play a snap. You know, to me, that's independent. I consider it a fail if they have to trade up for a quarterback next year or spend big free agency dollars on a quarterback next year. If Stidham's not the guy, that's a fail. But Stidham doesn't have to play a down this year for them to show me that he's the guy or not. They just have to believe he's the guy.
Do you want another schedule nugget?
I do. Nugget, yes. Give me a nugget.
Oh,
drop
good.
One.
I like nuggets.
Drop me a nugget.
This is from Evan Lazar of CLNS Media, covers the Patriots. Says a source tells him the Patriots will play the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs week 4 at Arrowhead, 4:25 kickoff.
Okay. Yeah, that's a loss.
Yeah. There you go. So, again, we'll have to see the whole thing to discern some sort of pattern. But week 4, the NFL just plows ahead like there's nothing going on, right?
That seriously, leads me to believe they don't have a contingency plan because that's a marquee game, even without Tom Brady. The Patriots at the Chiefs, even with Jared Stidham, that's a marquee game. And they're telling you that with the 4:25 kickoff. They don't have a backup plan. They're just plowing through.
Sunday, October 4th would be the date. They are just but it is true. Do you think the NFL thinks they're bigger than the coronavirus?
Yes.
Yep. Like, we're bigger than that. We're more important than that. Yeah, people are suffering and dying, and there's a disease and a pandemic, but we're the NFL. Screw it. Screw the coronavirus. We're the NFL. I mean, that's sort of like their approach, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like Joe Hag's post-marathon bombing. You know, nobody's going to push me around. You know, I think it's the same kind of thing, that the virus isn't going to push the NFL around. Same concept. I'm picking all over Joe Hags today, the poor fella. But I wonder if the league just says, these wuss bags, they're all cans. We're just going to keep doing things the way we do them and we'll be fine. So it does feel like they are just plowing ahead. I'm with Murray.
Okay, week 4, Kansas City. If there's two more tough games, so we know week 1 is home Miami. That's a lamb. That's one of the winnable games on your schedule. If week 2 and 3... our toughies, get ready for a full month of Brian Hoyer. Stidham will come in on the 5th week with the Patriots having just gotten their doors blown off by Kansas City, and they'll have an easy game in week 5. Stidham comes in that week. He's in a position to succeed, and off we go. That's how it's going to be managed.
Hey, the last time they played week 4 Kansas City, they won the Super Bowl.
Okay, I would not bank on that. Coming up next is the final word.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire for the guaranteed lowest prices on tires. Go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats
nobody
Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
That would be nobody. All right, so in case anyone in the audience didn't know yet, both Tony Maz and yours truly, available to send a message or dance like a clown for you via Cameo.
Oh, boy. Murray, how much is your price?
$15.
And what is Maz?
I am now $40.
Oh,
Jesus. Wow. I don't set the rate, man. I was at $20 and they intervened, so... All I do is, you know, I just follow orders.
Maz is in demand.
He's the top shelf kid.
Wow.
Mm. Well, with that said, Jimmy Stewart has plucked a few recent videos that we have done for the people. So first, here is Maz.
Hey, Brendan. Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. The guys reached out to me because apparently you, my friend, had a little mishap in the household. In attempting to unclog your bathtub drain... You flooded the whole kitchen ceiling in the process, you jackass. And you know why I can say that? Because I've done it. I'm serious. Maybe not quite as bad as you. But I was trying to unclog a bathtub clog. So I unscrewed the drain. I snaked it. I turned the water on. I forgot to put the drain back in. It acts as a funnel. So the water started running on the outside of the pipe instead of going into the pipe. What a jackass I am. You know what I did the next time? The same thing you should do. Call a plumber, you moron.
All right. So you saved it at the end. I'm not sure if that's good value for 40. Maybe I'd pay 10 for that. I don't know about 40. Let me hear Murray.
Hey, Nick Stass, what's going on? It's Big Jim from 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your rival touch base with me, so that I would reach out to you, that's you, Nick, so I could bust your balls. And that's what I'm going to do, because he says to me, you're a friend slash member of your fantasy football league. You guys are top rivals. You're always a solid preseason candidate for last place. Oh, so you're like me, and it's the reason I don't play fantasy football anymore, because I stink, and I'm fodder for the rest of the league. Anyway, a diehard Yankee fan you are, and baseball traditionalist, blech. You really like the way that game is being played right now? Come on. Then you're a bore, and you stink. Put the ball in play. Oh, my God. Your sport's dying, and you know it.
Okay. Again, $20? I don't know.
15.
Oh, 15.
That a boy, Murray.
Okay, yeah, that was 15. Worth, I'm sorry, you said 15. That's worth 15. Yeah. That was worth 15. So catch these guys on Cameo.
Find the links on Twitter for Maz and myself.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank.
It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're member FDIC.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.